helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. We all know there's corruption in government, even if we disagree about who is corrupt and what is considered corrupt behavior. That's why I think it's important to look at these allegations of corruption with as unbiased an eye as we can. For example, Joe Biden recently bragged that he's finding ways around the Supreme Court's decision that he couldn't forgive student loans. Well, this has caused quite a lot of pearl clutching among members of the Republican Party. Let's see if we can find the truth amid all the rhetoric. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me. You know, I'm using Joe Biden as a starting block. There's more things I'm going to cover, but what I've heard about the effect of Joe Biden's statement is, it kind of shows the general ignorance of the Constitution among so many in our chattering class. And I think it's worth taking some time and trying to, you know, we all have our biases. I certainly am not a Biden fan, but I want to take some time and see if we can, as calmly and rationally as possible, analyze what he actually said and what the law actually says about it. So let's start. This was I guess he was out in Wisconsin doing some event when Joe Biden was speaking at the podium when he said this.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments.
And of course, immediately the court says, oh my God, he's defying the Supreme Court, constitutional crisis, separation of powers, people going absolutely nuts. So again, calmly. First, Mr. Biden lied. See, debts don't get canceled. They get written off, but somebody pays the piper. When he's talking about canceling the debt of tens of millions of people, he's actually saying the American people will pay off the debt. Because the money was stolen from the American people. Yes, stolen, because Congress is not authorized to collect taxes to loan money out to other people. And the money's not getting paid back. Meaning the idea of you loan out money, you get paid back with interest. That's taxes the American people wouldn't have to pay. So that's been the lie going about pretty much since this whole thing came about. So he's talking about, they're going to get canceled. No, they're going to get paid for by the American people. The American people were getting ripped off yet again. But he mentioned that, yes, Republicans and elected officials, they sued. Why? Well, the problem was Mr. Biden didn't have the legal authority to, quote unquote, forgive these student loans. Now, again, I did something weird. I went to the Supreme Court opinion. Right? This is Biden v. Nebraska. And the court stated that the HEROES Act allows the secretary to waive or modify existing statutory or regulatory provisions applicable to financial assistance programs under the Education Act, but does not allow the secretary to rewrite that statute to the extent of canceling $430 billion of student loan principal. The text of the HEROES Act does not authorize the secretary's loan forgiveness program. The secretary's power under the act to modify does not permit basic and fundamental changes in the scheme. Instead, modify carries a connotation of incremental or limitation and must be read to mean to change moderately or in minor fashion. That is how the word is ordinarily used and defined, and the legal definition is no different. So what the Supreme Court said, listen, the law said you can tweak the HEROES Act. The HEROES Act says you can tweak some of the stuff. You can waive or modify, but you can't simply write it off. And they were specific. Sure, they could waive or modify things like, I would assume, interest, because they specifically say that it was the loan principal, the canceling of the loan principal, that was not a power delegated to the Secretary of Education under the HEROES Act. So when you go to this, Biden's like, well, the Supreme Court blocked us. No, the Supreme Court applied the law and merely stated you could not forgive the principal under the HEROES Act. So let's go back to, again, to what Mr. Biden said.
But that didn't, well, that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt payments.
So all this rhetoric that's the president simply defying the court isn't true, at least not based on what he said here. Because what did he say? We are finding other ways to get around this, alternative ways to reduce student debt payments. He didn't say, well, we're going to ignore what the Supreme Court said and simply, under the HEROES Act, forgive the loans. Now, maybe they go off and do that, but that's not what he said here. Again, I'm not a fan of Biden. I really think his policies are dictatorial, tyrannical, Marxist, collectivist, crazy. And I don't know if the man could avoid telling a lie if his life depended on it. But let's be honest about what he said here, and let's be honest about what legally can and cannot be done. So the court said, listen, you cannot use the HEROES Act to forgive the principal of the loans. What else is he doing? I don't know. But there's also a fundamental point that I need to make. Let's say he does decide, you know what? Forget the courts. We're going to forgive under the HEROES Act. We're going to forgive the principal because. And I've seen so many people that go apoplectic over that, forgetting that the Supreme Court is not the supreme leader of the country. In fact, the opinion of a court, the decision of a court, is not even the supreme law of the land. Oh, would you like me to prove that to you? Well, that's really simple. I go to Article 6, Clause 2, the Supremacy Clause, that says this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the justices in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. Do you notice what's not listed there as the supreme law of the land? See, we've got the Constitution's listed, the laws of the United States made in pursuance to the Constitution, and the treaties made under the authority of the United States, which is established by the Constitution. That's listed. Do you see a decision of a court listed as the supreme law of the land? No, it can't be. In fact, I challenge someone to prove that what a court says is law, period. Since Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1 of the Constitution states that all legislative, all lawmaking power is vested in Congress. If all of it's in Congress, there's nothing left over for the courts. But we've got this twisted view of the federal judiciary. We have this twisted view of the courts. Let's go back to Federalist Papers 78, written by Alexander Hamilton. And he's talking about the federal judiciary that would be created under the Constitution. In this, we read, the judiciary, on the contrary, has no influence over either the sword or the purse, no direction of either the strength or the wealth of the society, and can take no active resolution whatever. It may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment, and must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm, even for the efficacy of its judgments. You see, the Supreme Court can decide, but they can't force the federal executive, the president, to do anything. They're dependent on him to actually enforce their decisions. And even if you go all the way back to Marbury versus Madison, the courts recognized. Now, most people know that case from the alleged allegation that it instituted judicial review as we understand it today, which is not true. But the court said, listen, the Congress gave us, said that we have the authority to tell the executive what to do. The Constitution says we don't have that, therefore we don't have it, because Congress can't do what the Constitution doesn't authorize. You see how we're, so there's a, what the president may do is wrong. It may even be criminal. But the court cannot force the president to stop. They don't have any law enforcement powers. All they have is judgment. And what it's up to is up to Congress to impeach a president if what he's doing is unconstitutional and illegal. Why do you think it says high crimes and misdemeanors as a reason for impeachment? A misdemeanor is bad behavior that doesn't quite rise to a crime, at least according to Noah Webster's 1878 dictionary. So we have all of this brouhaha, all of this political pandering, and rhetoric. And it seems nobody's bothered to take the time to even listen to what Mr. Biden said there. Now, trust me, there are plenty of other things to point out the criminal and the unconstitutional and the tyrannical activity of Mr. Biden. The very idea of, quote unquote, forgiving loans is a criminal act. It's embezzlement. It's theft. But to sit here and say, listen, based on what he said, he's just going to ignore the Supreme Court. No. He said the Supreme Court said I couldn't do it here. I want to find another way to do it. We're finding other ways to do this. You see why I say a pox on both their houses? I point this out for two reasons. One, a lot of times I'm picking on members of the Democratic Party simply because I hear this type of nonsense from them quite a bit. But here's an example. Right? All those conservatives, all those Republicans, all those people who say they follow the Constitution, if you listened to what he said rather than the pundits and talking heads, maybe you'd realize he's not ignoring the Supreme Court. He said, the Supreme Court said I couldn't do it here. Let me see if I can do it there. And even if Mr. Biden was to ignore the Supreme Court, what's the worst that could happen? At least to him. Well, they could find him in contempt of court. Big, fat, hairy deal. Who's going to arrest Joe Biden? The U.S. Marshals? That work for him? I don't think so. I agree. I mean, he's liable to arrest, but let's face it, the Secret Service, the Praetorian Guard, they're not going to let somebody arrest him. But I think what's happened, and since we don't know what the Constitution says, because very few people actually read the Constitution, much less spend the time to understand what it says. It's not that hard. We just don't do it. So they get carried away by the rhetoric of political pundits with their own political agenda, and the Constitution gets trampled by the very people who think they're upholding the Constitution because they don't understand the separation of powers. They don't understand the limitations on the different branches of government, and they end up fighting over something that isn't really a problem while ignoring a much more fundamental problem. It is criminal it was a crime when the federal government lent money. Because Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, Congress can collect taxes to do three things. Pay the debts of the United States, provide for the common defense of the United States, and the general welfare of the United States, capital U, capital S, proper noun. There's nothing in there about collecting taxes to loan money to anyone, whether that be a student or another foreign entity. But they do it all the time. And all the time and effort that is being focused on this allegation that Joe Biden is ignoring the Supreme Court is time and energy that's not being spent on the fact, hey, wait a second, Mr. Biden is basically criminally conspiring to continue the crime of embezzling money for the American people to loan to other people and then use that criminally acquired funds to bribe people with student loans by offering to pay for them. Not with his own money, mind you, but with the money of the American people. Now, I have some more examples I want to get to, but I have to take a break. I don't want to interrupt our train of thought. Before I go, though, you know, I got a question. Somebody from social media asked me if they could ask me questions about the Constitution. Yeah. Yes, you can ask a question. I love when people ask questions. And in fact, I have a whole part of the website dedicated to asking questions. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/questions And there's a form. I ask for your name and your email address. And what is your question? There's also a checkbox that said, I would like you to answer it on the radio program. And I'll do my best to answer your question to the best of my ability and to answer it here on the radio. I'd love doing that. I want to do whole segments. I'd love to have enough questions that once a week I could take a segment to do dedicated nothing but answering your questions. Because I know there are questions out there. I just can't figure out how to encourage people to ask them. So, I don't know. If you've got an idea, hey, let me know. Go to ask a question. Say, hey, have you thought about doing this? And we'll see what we can do. In fact, how about this? How about if you've got a really good question, I'll invite you to discuss it with me on the radio program. Would that work? In other words, if you've got a really good question, something I think a lot of people would be involved in or would involve a nice back and forth, maybe I'll have you on the program for a few minutes. And we'll do it via Zoom, right? So you don't have to worry about being somewhere. And we can have a little discussion. We'll have it on the radio program so everyone else can enjoy it. Hopefully that'll encourage people to actually ask a question. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I love my local fire department. I have a volunteer fire department and I have a county-run EMS. And I love these people. EMS shows up when I call. You know, my wife is in a wheelchair. And if she falls, I have a hard time picking her up. I place a phone call. People show up. They're wonderful. They're helpful. And they're great. My fire department, I participate in their fundraisers because I love volunteer fire departments. Well, you know what? Honoring our heroes is something we should all do. And hopefully you've got great first responders. You've got veterans. I love going to veterans events and speaking. Well, there's another group. See, Patriot Mobile also honors our veterans, our first responders, the people that sacrifice so that we can live free, whether that be on a battlefield somewhere or just someone that answers a call when someone needs help. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage on all the networks. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and you can get free activation with offer code CONSTITUTION. Simply go to patriotmobile.com/constitution and find a plan that works for you. We've got discounts for the veterans and first responders, but they've also got discounts for family plans with multiple lines. But be sure, when you go there again, patriotmobile.com/constitution, be sure to use the promo code CONSTITUTION so you get free activation on your new lines.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and we're looking at government corruption, but we're trying to do so with as unbiased an eye as we can find. We all have our biases. I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan that said everyone's entitled to their own opinion, not their own facts. So we have to recognize we have biases, which is why we have to work to not allow them to overly influence our decisions. It's very hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's something you work at least I try to work at constantly. So in the first segment, we talked about the Republicans' misrepresentation of what President Joe Biden said and the legal and constitutional issues of what he said. And now I'm going to flip the script. We're going to look at the other side of the table here because it appears that the leadership in the Senate, which is currently Democratic, is planning to dismiss the impeachment charges against Secretary Mayorkas. At least that's according to Axios's reporting. They have three sources familiar with the conversations that they say told them that Schumer is going to basically shut down the impeachment. Not even going to have a trial. Now, Schumer has apparently not said anything publicly, but he plans to table the impeachment trial so it never actually happens. I find it laughable that the Democrats argue that that's because the impeachment of Mayorkas, it was purely political with no high crimes or misdemeanors found, which I find, again, laughable since the impeachments, plural, of Donald Trump were purely political and with the evidence that was provided being laughably wrong, false, provably false. I mean, just, it was simply a political move. And of course, impeachments are political. They are not, it's not a trial. I should say it's not a criminal trial. In fact, it's one of the reasons why the impeachment clause says that just because you've been convicted, you've been found guilty of an impeachment, doesn't mean you cannot be tried for the crimes. It is not double jeopardy to be convicted of an impeachable offense and then be criminally charged with that. So, it's the question. Now, listen, I have a lot of issues. I had some issues. I've talked about them with the way the Mayorkas impeachment was handled. They focused a lot on politics, very little on actual crimes and misdemeanors. And we often forget that a misdemeanor, at least according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, is bad behavior that doesn't reach the level of crime. So you don't have to say, well, the criminal code says that this is a crime, and then when they commit that, we can impeach them. All you need is bad behavior. Right? That's the definition of a misdemeanor at the time the Constitution was drafted. Now, that said, there are some issues in the Senate with the trial. According to the GOP whip in the Senate, John Thune, he says there are a lot, there's a large majority that is behind the impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas, and they said they will be very unified. Of course, there are several Republican senators that have expressed concerns about the House's impeachment efforts in the last month. And I get, they have reason to. It is a political move, but that's the definition of, pretty much the definition of impeachment. It's not a criminal process. It's a political process. And to those Democrats who are saying this is purely political, well, you kind of opened the Pandora's box on that when you decided to impeach a sitting president because you didn't like his policies. When you basically took hearsay and blatant lies and use them as evidence to impeach him, you kind of open the box into the impeachment. The whole thing is political. So let's take a look at the constitutional question here. Now, under Article 1, Section 3, clause was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It says the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments. The Senate is the only people that can decide to actually try an impeachment. Now, as I understand it, and I'm not 100% sure on this, I don't know if it's tradition or if it's actually Senate rules that say when an impeachment reaches the Senate, which at least as far as I know, the House hasn't actually sent the impeachment to the Senate yet. More kind of evidence that this is political gamesmanship, right? They're trying to get it probably to impact the election in November, be that as it may. Once it arrives, I don't know if it's tradition or if it's actually a Senate rule that the Senate drops all other legislation to try the impeachment. Now, a couple other things to note that if they actually have the trial, the senators will be under oath or affirmation, just like a jury. And since it's not the president of the United States who's being tried, we don't require the Chief Justice to preside over the process. But it's also important to note that conviction requires 2/3 of the members present to vote for conviction. And again, with such a partisan divide and such a, I believe, a poorly constructed impeachment, the odds of getting even a majority, much less 2/3, to convict Secretary Mayorkas is, well, I would say there's not a lot of hope. But again, that's partially because this is it's a political show. It's a political maneuver, and really, I think, shouldn't be thought of as much more than that. And speaking of something that seems to be purely political, how about the case of Grand Canyon University? See, the Department of Education and the Federal Trade Commission, the U.S. Department of Education and the Federal Trade Commission, have filed suit against GCU, Grand Canyon University, claiming in the lawsuit that GCU misrepresented the number of continuation courses required to complete a doctoral degree, resulting in substantially higher price tags for students. They also claim that the university engaged in unlawful telemarketing and marketing practices. Now, back in October of last year, the U.S. Department of Education levied almost a $38 million fine against GCU, and the GCU appealed, calling it unprecedented. Now here's where life gets a little interesting. So you have a federal allegation. By the way, the Federal Department of Education does not legally exist. Regulating education is not a power delegated to the United States. I even question the Federal Trade Commission because its power should be limited only to interstate commerce. And, well, I guess that might mean the marketing, but they're regulating marketing, not the actual commerce. So that's a whole other question. But here's what's the latest update. Arizona State Approving Agency, which is part of their Department of Veterans Affairs, they audited the university. They did so back in February, and they said, listen, none of the actions that the government claimed happened could be substantiated. Now, this was important for one reason. See, the approving agency approval means that the state can use GI Bill funding to pay tuition. That's where the federal government gets some of the GI Bill. See, the university president, Brian Mueller, told K-Star that there were zero findings, not a single one, not one. Imagine going through this audit and they didn't find one of those of the allegations to have merit. Yet the U.S. DOE and the Federal Trade Commission have not dropped their lawsuit. According to GCU representative Bob Romantic, he told the College Fix in an interview that the audit addressed all three of the central complaints of the FTC lawsuit and found them lacking. He's even provided a copy of the findings to the College Fix. Yet the federal government not only refuses to pull the lawsuit, the U.S. Department of Education refuses to rescind the fine. Now, this can come across as a couple of different ways. It could simply be bureaucratic sloth. You know, it's sitting on someone's desk. It's got to go through 47 different people's hands and all sorts of things, and it just hasn't gotten there yet. Possible. I grant that is possible. Could be something else, though. See, Grand Canyon University is a Christian university. Why should that matter? Well, we certainly have seen we've seen federal law enforcement agencies going after different Christian organizations. Remember how the FBI wanted to label traditional Roman Catholics as potential domestic violent extremists? Or the government-funded database created at the University of Maryland that labeled domestic extremists Christian organizations. They actually had tags for people who were potential terrorists, and they included things like anti-LGBT, anti-abortion, and Christian as sub tags for potential extremists. So there is some evidence of an anti-Christian bias in some of these federal agencies. Could it possibly be at the DOE and FTC as well? I don't know. Possible, right? We have at least two possibilities here. Now, there's a couple ways I could look at it. One is, you know, Occam's razor. When looking at a question, the answer that requires the fewest assumptions is usually correct. It's the other way to put it is, when dealing with the government, assume incompetence. It could simply be the incompetence of the federal government, the bureaucracy that's holding this. That is possible. Then again, it doesn't take a lot of assumptions to say that the federal government doesn't like to lose, and they may have some anti-Christian bias in these organizations that is skewing their opinion. Again, I don't have proof. These are assumptions that I'm making based on what I have seen. And I make that point repeatedly because I don't want people thinking, you know, I've decided this or I've decided. No, these are possibilities. We haven't found the truth yet. Now, our biases are going to tend to lean us toward one of those two possible answers. If you recognize that, then you're a step ahead to say, okay, yeah, my bias might mean, you know, might assume that the federal government's corrupt and they're coming after Christians. Other people's bias might say, no, the government wouldn't do that. This is probably just some bureaucratic. It's, you know, the check is in the mail. It's lost in here somewhere. We'll find it and get it straightened out. I'm trying to plant myself right there in the middle and say, I don't know. I would not really be overly surprised by either answer turning out to be the truth. But I hope you see how this partisanship, this partisan divide, the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, as George Washington put it, can so easily cloud our decision-making, our understanding of what's going on. It's why I believe it takes an active work to recognize I have biases. Am I allowing my biases to tell me things that aren't all there, to overemphasize certain pieces of information and de-emphasize others? It happens. And only by recognizing that can we, again, hope to find the truth. As Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We can't really be free until we at least recognize we have biases to help protect ourselves against decisions that are overly influenced by those biases. Okay, after the break, I want to talk a bit about some local events that have a national impact. And again, dealing with corruption and how should we think about it and how do we approach it and all of that fun stuff. But I've got a break coming up. I don't want to get interrupted. So Before the break, though, I want to remind you of a couple things. If you have questions about what do I do next, I get that question a lot. It's why I created the Constitution Study Planning Wizard. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/wizard. It'll ask your name and email, and then several questions about when did you last read the Constitution? How easily was it to understand? What goals do you have? What are you looking for? And the system will then generate some emails to help you, give you some ideas. By the way, I look at those entries, and I may throw in my two cents as well as to some of this stuff. But the idea is, if you're not sure what to do next, take the wizard. The wizard is free. And maybe get some ideas of what to do next. And some of them may involve buying a book or two. Some of them may not. Many of them don't. But it's a way to kind of give you some ideas on how to move forward. And I think that's an important thing is, you know, if you're not sure how to move, let's give it a shot and see how we can move forward. And if I can give you some help pointing that direction, I'm happy. Now, one other thing to consider is, you know, getting a good night's sleep is important, and especially if you want to stay healthy. And I don't know about you, but getting up in the morning and just feeling tired, not able to do my work, it doesn't feel good. So I found a sleep supplement that helps. See, when I travel a lot, I have a hard time sleeping. Now, REM Sleep Supplement by Healthy Cell helps me fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deeply so I can wake up refreshed and go about my business. They're great because they come in a travel-ready gel pack. So I just have to take them. I throw them in my bag. And before I go to bed, I pop open one and I drink it. You can mix it in some water or something, or do like I do and just drink the gel right out of the pouch. But it works. It's the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell. Simply go to AmericaOutloud.shop, find the REM Sleep ad, and you'll find out how. But again, REM Sleep, you'll go to the Healthy Cells website, put together your order, but do me a favor, use that code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all. At a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Well, Welcome back, Everyday Americans. If you join the Constitution study, today we're talking about government corruption and the fact that it's not always what we think it is. Sometimes it's not as bad as we think it is. Sometimes it's actually worse than we think it is. Take, for example, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. He's calling on Joe Biden to grant work permits to 500,000 illegal aliens that currently live in the city of Chicago. Let me say that again. The mayor of Chicago, a sanctuary city, has urged the president of the United States to grant work permits to people who came here, to criminals. People who came, you broke the law coming here. Okay, maybe you haven't been convicted yet, but again, Mr. Brandon, or Mr. Johnson, I should say, you do realize that part of the reason that there are nearly 500,000 illegal aliens in your city is because you invited them? I mean, you didn't send them an invitation. Please come to my city. You said, hey, we're not going to bother enforcing the law here. You broke the law. We don't care. Show up. And we won't turn you over to the feds. We won't turn you over to ICE. We'll make your life nice and easy. And in fact, Mr. Johnson told reporters back on April 4th, he said, we need the president to extend the same economic opportunities long term for our undocumented brothers and sisters so they can build a better life here in the city of Chicago or wherever else they decide to live. I break that down for a second. These aren't undocumented brothers and sisters, right? They didn't get pulled over and realize they'd forgotten their driver's license. These are people who broke the law to enter this country. So do they deserve to build a better life here when they're not here legally? What's next? Mr. Johnson, are you going to say, listen, we need to grant work permits to all the prisoners in our prisons, in our county jails, so they can go out and get a job and have the same economic opportunities as we do? Yeah, that's about as stupid as it gets. So you have by the way, I do believe it's actually a federal crime to allow someone here illegally to work. What was that program they had where employers were supposed to look up the status of employee applicants to see if they were legal to work here? Yeah. So let's encourage more illegal immigrants to come to your city by giving them work permits. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a hard time believing this is an honest mistake, right? I mean, Mr. Johnson said, I want to make this emphatically clear. Chicago will never turn its back on people who wish to call the city of Chicago their home. Great. Then the city of Chicago, you deal with the problem. See, the city of Nashville, Tennessee, we didn't say that. Where I live, we didn't say that. You deal with it. You want them to come here? You figure out how they can work. By the way, I'd love to tell Mr. Johnson one itty-bitty little thing. The federal government has no legal authority to determine who can and cannot work in your city. Let me say that again. Federal government has no legal authority to tell you who can and cannot work in your city. Why? Well, look at the Constitution of the United States. The United States was never granted the power to regulate employment. They have no legal authority. They weren't even authorized to regulate immigration. So they have no authority. The problem, Mr. Johnson, is yours. It was started by your predecessor. It has been continued by you. And I want to put one little cherry on top of this little thing, because I saw that I hadn't thought of it at first, but it really is rather important. Now, I'm going to make a point clear because, well, this is radio. You can't see pictures. Both Mr. Johnson and his predecessor are black. Personally, I don't care. But guess what? Illinois already has the worst black unemployment rate in the entire nation. And now he wants to give 500,000 people who entered the country illegally the ability to work. I wonder how many Black American citizens would lose their job if these illegal aliens were allowed to work. I thought they wanted what was best for the Black population. Apparently not. Apparently, that when they talk about the same building and the same opportunities as the their other brothers and sisters, right? That doesn't mean the Black or existing other minorities that may be looking for jobs and having a hard time finding jobs. And what they really need is more competition from people who broke the law to get here. Now let's cross the border from Illinois into Wisconsin. See, according to a report from the Institute for Reforming Government, they found that the city of Madison, Wisconsin, used their the state and local fiscal relief funds. In other words, they used COVID money that the federal government embezzled from the American people, that were sent to the different cities and states to deal with the plandemic, the scamdemic, and the aftermath that the governments created. They took $700,000 of that money and used it for more illegal aliens. So you see, the federal government embezzled money from the American citizen to pay off the cities and states for the unconstitutional and criminal acts that those governments and the federal government put in place to deal with basically a bad flu. And then that money was taken by the citizen of Madison, Wisconsin, that was supposed to go for COVID relief and instead was given to nonprofits dealing with illegal aliens. And now senators want answers. Well, the answer is simple. First of all, if you hadn't embezzled the money for the American people in the first place, that wouldn't have been a problem. I should say state senators are asking questions about what they did. Second of all, what do you expect? Government is corrupt. You're going to find corrupt people in government. It's just the nature of the game. They attract people who want power and will trade power, you know, will act corruptly into getting that power. But let's face it, as corrupt as the city of Madison, Wisconsin acted, do you really think they're going to give $700,000 back to the state of Wisconsin? And do you think the state of Wisconsin is going to take the money that the bribe they accepted from Washington, D.C., and give that back? See, if my understanding is correct, the money from all this COVID relief went to the states, who then sent it to the cities. So this Senator Strobel, did you vote for the COVID relief? Well, then you accepted a bribe. And now you're pissed that the bribe that the state of Wisconsin gave to the city of Madison was used improperly. Duh. I mean, you know, you're a corrupt. I'm not assuming. All right, I don't know that Mr. Strobel is corrupt. I don't know that's the case. But it really seems interesting that you would be surprised that a bribe that was offered and then used to bribe somebody else, that person acted corruptly. I really don't know why you'd be surprised at that. See, I'm reminded of something said by John Francis Mercer during the Constitutional Convention. He said, "It is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose will govern the United States. It is the men whom will bring into the government and interest in maintaining it that is to govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business." See, we think of government as some thing, but it's actually made up of people. There are people in the government. And I have to ask you, when you look at Congress, when you look at your state legislature, when you look at your executive branches, are these really the best people we can find? I mean, look at Congress. I'm going to, since this is a national program, we're talking about the U.S. Constitution, let's look at Congress. Is this really the 535 best people you could find to legislate, to hold the power of Congress? Really, these are the best people you could find. Now, I pick a lot on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for what she says, and certain others. But there's been this clip going around, and a lot of people have been pitching it or talking about it. But, well, listen to this from Representative Sheila Jackson Lee.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Now, I want to be fair to Ms. Jackson Lee. Have you ever had a situation where you were in the middle of something and just lost your train of thought? You know, and it happens. It happens to all of us. And it's difficult when you're a public speaker because, as she is, she's speaking at, it looks like some sort of a event. And, you know, you're expected to keep speaking, but you're not sure where you're going. So my guess is, you know, it wasn't planned this way. It doesn't look like she's looking at notes to come up with this information. It looks like she was giving this speech and she kind of lost her train of thought and got into this weird tirade about, the energy from the moon versus the energy from the sun. And, you know, a full moon is when it's a rounded circle, when you can see the whole thing. Yeah, that was kind of weird. But I also have to ask, where'd she get this idea that the moon is mostly gases? Was she just like, I just got to keep rambling here till something starts making sense? You know, she says, how is it possible that we can live on the moon? Well, it's the gases that could do that. Now, I don't know. Maybe she's thinking of gases as in, you know, oxygen, other things that we could use to support life on them. I'm not sure. Here's what I do know. I know a lot of people have picked on Ms. Jackson Lee for this. To me, this is just someone who lost her train of thought and just kept rambling. But I also want to think, ask yourself, if you're represented by Ms. Lee, is this really the best, the most intelligent person, the best person to represent you and what you think? Or is there another reason why you chose her? Not because of her intelligence, not because of her character, maybe something a little less substantial, shall we say. Then what are you surprised at? Because if she's accurately representing the people of her district, well, that's her job, isn't it? And if this is the best you could find in that district, that brings up a whole other set of questions. But I want you to see, as we look at this, as people have gone after Ms. Lee for this rambling, like I said, to me, this is nothing more than someone who was speaking, who lost their train of thought, and just kept speaking until something started making sense again. As a public speaker myself, I know that feeling of being up there and having lost a train of thought. Hopefully, I don't ramble like that. Hopefully, I find another spot to go and take off, but who knows? You know, we're all different. There's enough corruption in government. There's enough evil in government. We don't need to make things up. We don't need to misrepresent what our people are doing or what our opponents are doing in order to find the corruption. What we need to deal with is there is corruption. And B, how do we deal with that corruption? Because remember, Ms. Jackson Lee, she was chosen by a majority of the people in her district. President Biden was chosen by the majority of electors from the different states. Chuck Schumer, who was chosen by a majority of the people of the state of New York. And Mayor Johnson was chosen by a majority of the people of the city of Chicago. See, I want to remind you of something that President Garfield said at this nation's 100th anniversary. He said, "Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the nation's legislature. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation did not aid in controlling the political forces." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the corruption in government is ultimately our fault. Now, I hope you will join me in visiting AmericaOutloud.news every day to get news and information, to find the stories, articles, podcasts, and videos that can inform not only yourself, but your neighbors and your friends. And while you're at it, I hope you'll join us for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio Network, or via podcast or your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor. You know, the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard in the radio. But I really hope you'll subscribe to the show, that you'll leave the episode ratings and reviews so that, well, it helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. Now, whether it's someone else's article or this program, do me a favor. Find the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news and then share them. We talk a lot about watching programs and listening to programs, but there's something about the act of sharing this information, whether it's making a connection with somebody else or just recognizing the responsibility to share information that helps us all share the blessings of liberty. And if there's one thing we want to secure in this country, at least to my mind, it's not this political party or that political party, but it's the blessings of liberty that we truly enjoy.